To be honest, a part of me would expect Jesus to be rebuking what Paul is doing, right? Is that a strange thing to think? Or at least tell him that what he is doing in persecuting Christians is wrong. But that's not actually what happens if you look closely. In fact, what happens is Jesus comes relationally and asks Paul a simple question. Why? Why are you persecuting me? And notice that Jesus makes no distinction between himself and his followers. Jesus considers the persecution of his followers to be the persecution of himself, which probably could be a whole other sermon. There's probably quite a good amount of information you could derive from that. But it's actually, this conversation is actually quite like sort of strange and a bit unpredictable, because Jesus doesn't even tell Paul really anything other than he is Jesus and to go into the city and wait for instructions. And this clearly makes a massive impression on Paul, as he acknowledges this person speaking to him as Lord before even knowing who it is. And it also makes an impression on Paul's crew, who were apparently speechless, which I guess fair enough. If you can hear things that aren't, you can't see, then that's probably going to leave you in a bit of a strange way. But then Paul then realizes afterwards that the light has blinded him, and he has to be led to Damascus by the hand of his friends. And he also doesn't eat or drink at this time for 3 days, which could have been a shock or distress thing, or perhaps it was a fast. We actually don't really know the answer to that. Okay, now we jump over to Ananias, a believer who was in Damascus, the very type of person that Paul was on his way to round up as a prisoner. I mean, if you can really understand why Ananias was a bit hesitant to go and minister to this guy, but the Lord makes it clear that he has chosen Paul to take his message to the Gentiles and kings as well as the Jews. So Ananias, in obedience, finds Paul, lays hands on him to heal his sight, and Paul is filled with the Holy Spirit. Then Paul gets baptized, and afterwards he probably goes and has some well-needed grub after going 3 days without eating. So, talk about a transformation, right? Paul immediately starts preaching, saying that Jesus is the Son of God, and the people who hear him are so confused, because remember that Paul is famous for being the guy who persecutes Christians. They even knew that his purpose for coming to the city was to imprison Christians. So obviously, seeing this is coming as a major shock to a lot of people. But Paul keeps preaching and keeps improving. And it says that his preaching becomes more and more powerful, up to the point where the Jews weren't able to win the arguments with him about Jesus being the Jewish Messiah. And I think it's widely accepted now that Paul goes on to be the most influential theologian of all time, if you don't include Jesus in that, because he doesn't count. And he still goes on to plant around 14 churches, and many of the letters in the New Testament are written by him, and his influence is still absolutely huge in the world today. So it's an absolutely incredible story of transformation with what he later goes on to do. And it's actually, obviously, you will probably know the phrase, it's a story so influential that the phrase now, a Damascus conversion, is just a normal English phrase that is probably understood by people who don't even know that much about this story. Like, this is the quintessential story for a sudden and dramatic transformation. And I want us to have a look at this story to help us inspire us and help us form a path for our own personal transformation and for the transformation that we see in other believers, new and old. So why do we want to see a Jesus-inspired, Damascus-like transformation in ourselves and others? Well, it probably won't be a massive surprise to you to know that I believe that God's kingdom is a genuinely good thing for the world. I want to see more of it in my own life, and I want to see more of it in your lives, and I want to see more of it in everyone's lives. But in order for that to happen, we need transformation. And just thinking as well about, I didn't write this in, but just thinking about what Tom was saying about the wars in the world going on at the moment, like, we just need so much of God's transformation in those situations, don't we? Because there is often a chasm between the reality of what is currently in this broken world that we live in and the reality of what God's kingdom should be. Because, you know, in some ways we are absolutely miles off it, aren't we? And we majorly miss the mark, and we get things badly wrong, and we sin, and we're not perfect. And this leads us to less fruit of the Spirit. Less love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And I don't know about you guys, but I want to live a life full of those things. And I want the people around me to experience them too. Because to me, a life filled with the Spirit, a life reaping love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control is life to the full. Life as the best that it can be. So the more that we follow Jesus and transform our lives with his Spirit, the better our lives become and the more in line they are with his kingdom. So I want more of that transformation, and I'm guessing, hoping kind of that you guys do as well. So how do we go about getting it? Well, something that St. Augustine of Hippo talks about is called the Order of Loves. And it's actually called the Ordo Amoris if you like Latin, but I think I'm not clever enough to know that much Latin, so just that little phrase. And it's been a huge help to me in understanding why I need to go first to God for transformation. And just a quick caveat, if you're a keen follower of politics, which I am as well, I know that this concept came up a few months ago with some high-profile politicians, but if you just put that out of your mind for now, as it's not actually that helpful to what we're looking at here, but that'd be great. But yeah, the Order of Love's concept is that there are three key relationships that have a hierarchy in our lives. Our relationship with God first, our relationship with ourselves, and our relationship with others. And I think when we see this hierarchy, it's important that we think about when Jesus gives the most important commandment: love the Lord your God first, then love your neighbor as yourself. So love yourself and then your neighbor. So it's God, yourself, your neighbor. Now, the reason that this is important to understand when it comes to transformation is because we can so often look for ways to improve things without addressing the source. Have you ever had a friend who's told you something like, I need to focus on myself right now? I've definitely had a few friends like this. and they've got the intention of improving their relationship to themselves. And in my view, it is an honorable venture, and it shows an emotional maturity to know that there may be something wrong with their relationship to themselves. But sadly, and not to be too harsh, but I think sometimes those attempts can be in vain. Because it's kind of like trying to charge your phone without plugging it into a power outlet in the wall. It's like you can fiddle around with the cable all you want. It's just not going to work, is it? Like, you're just not going to draw any power from that. Because we need to get our foundations right. And if you want to transform your relationship with yourself, then you need to work on your relationship with God first. Transformation doesn't begin by looking inward, but by looking upward. So let's look at an example of that in practice. So something that's common with young people nowadays is anxiety. So think of somebody weighed down with anxiety. The path to transformation is not for them to trust themselves more or find some kind of inner peace. The path to transformation comes from deeply knowing that they are a child of God, that he will never leave them, and that his peace stands guard over their heart. And the more that this becomes a reality in their heart, the more that they can start to see transformation in their real life too. And that's just one example, but you can kind of apply that logic to anything that people are struggling with. Transformation doesn't begin by looking inward, but by looking upward. And of course, our final piece in our order of loves is our relationship with others. Because when we become transformed by looking upward, then we can go and look outward. Jesus calls us to love others as we love ourselves. But if our relationship with ourselves isn't right, then how can we love others right? That's why we always have to go back to God first as the source and let his love flow down through us and then out to others. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 3:18 that the more we become like the Lord through the Holy Spirit, the more we are changed and reflect his glorious image to others. Because true transformation is obvious to the people who desire it. They can see in a follower of Jesus a transformation that they desire and maybe even need at times. And so that gives transformed Christians an incredible opportunity to share this message of hope with those who deeply desire it and need it. And guys, like as I shared with you last time I came, but the opportunity to share the love of Jesus at the moment is unprecedented in my lifetime, and maybe yours too, but as I spoke with you last time, the young people are just searching for something at the moment, and there is a real move going on, and people are very open to these conversations and observing things like transformation in a way that I don't think they have before, because people feel a bit lost at the moment, and that's leading to some interesting places for our culture. And you may even find yourself in a position where you are called to share the love of Jesus with somebody who you are hesitant to for whatever reason. But follow the example of Ananias, a man who was obedient and shared the love of God, of Jesus, with Paul, even though Paul was out to kill him only 3 days earlier. I mean, that is an amazing story, isn't it, to be fair to Ananias? He's not a well-known kind of follower of Jesus, but definitely a good example of one from the short that we know about him. So we want to share this amazing kingdom transformation power with others. So let's think practically and go back up the order of loves again. So in order to pour out to others, we need to have a good relationship with ourselves. And to have a good relationship with ourselves, we need to have a good relationship with God. So let's look at some practical ways that we can look upward and improve our relationship to God. So in practice, we need to know that to go to God for transformation, like we know that we need to do that to be transformed, but go to God to do what? Well, Paul writes in Romans 12:2 that transformation comes from God renewing our minds. So it says, "Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way that you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect." So how practically do we go about letting God renew our minds? So I'm going to give a whistle-stop tour now through a few different things with some Bible verses in there. And it isn't a comprehensive list, but I think it could be a good starting point for us to be transformed. But I am just going to whiz through these. So maybe just if you could just pick up one or two and just think of what is God calling you to really focus on in this list. Because, yeah, like I said, just a short time on each. Otherwise, I will literally keep you here until tea time, probably. So number one is to fill your mind with God's word. And in John 17:17, Jesus prays this for his followers: "Make them holy by your truth. Teach them your word, which is truth." So yeah, just reading the Bible is so good, and getting to know its truth is really great. And maybe even memorize little parts that can especially address something you're either struggling with or something that encourages you. Just having that to be able to draw from is so powerful. So first one is filling your mind with God's word. Second one is prayer. In 1 Thessalonians 5:17, Paul tells the church to pray without ceasing. Just communicating with God and keeping that relationship alive is such a powerful way to renew our minds. We're going to have, I'm going to pray for us a little bit later. I know you guys have done some prayer already, but I think, yeah, just keeping that prayer going throughout your day, even just little things, can be a real powerful way to keep like that relationship just flowing between you and God. Thirdly, worship and give thanks. Thankfulness and worship shifts our perspective back towards God, which helps us renew our minds, and God loves our worship. Fourth is repentance. Turning away from the things that we know that we are doing wrong and saying sorry to God brings renewal and healing. Five is Christian community. It says in Proverbs 27:17 that as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. And John Mark Comer, the famous American preacher, makes the point that it's almost impossible to follow Jesus on our own. And we were designed to do that as a part of a community, which is why it's so great that you've got the chapel as your community. And just keeping that community is so important. Six is service. So Paul tells us in Galatians 5:13 to serve one another humbly in love. It blesses those that you serve, but it also blesses us. And Jesus is quoted as saying in Acts 20:35, that it is more blessed to give than to receive. So even if you're trying to be selfish, which I wouldn't advise, but serving is still the best thing to do. Seven is to guard your heart and mind. Proverbs 4:23 tells us to, above all else, guard our heart, because everything that we do flows from it. We need to make sure that we watch what we are consuming and be careful about it. If these things are unhelpful to your renewal, then it may be useful to make some changes or some tweaks. So like I say, there's a bit of a list there of hopefully helpful things to kind of get you started on that journey of transformation. But I want to have a quick caveat that it may not be as sudden or miraculous for us as it was for Paul. And we actually might have to work really hard at it as well, which is a bit annoying, isn't it? Sometimes you kind of just want God to give you a big zap and everything's better. But no, it's not always work. It doesn't work like that always. But it will be more than worth it for it to be transformed into a reflection of his kingdom. And so as we go on this journey, let's just also be so gracious with ourselves and with others as well. Allow it to be a journey. God is so gracious and kind with us as well. And, you know, we're not always going to be perfect to this, but remember that there is no condemnation for those who live in Christ Jesus. Okay, so I'm just going to have a quick pray for us. And I've done a lot of talking, so let's pray and talk to God. And yeah, I think Tom's just going to come and lead us in another song after that. But I'd just like to especially pray for transformation in our lives and transformation in our community and in the village and wider towns and stuff. So let's pray. Yeah, Lord, thank you so much for the amazing gift that you give us in transformation. Thank you that you are with us on this journey to renew our minds, to be closer to you. Thank you that you're the source of love that flows into us and then out to others. And I just pray for everybody in here, for their transformation, that there will just be an amazing journey, that they'll be able to really reap the fruit of your spirit and be able to, live life to the absolute full. And I pray for the transformation of twinning, as a village, and I just pray for as well in the towns like Tewkesbury and wider as well, Lord, that would you just have your hand transforming these areas, Lord? You love these places and you want the best for them. And so, Lord, we just ask for your transformation. Amen.